This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey guys, quick thing. The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by Mook Delivery, bringing you the food you love. Mook Delivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with Mook Delivery. So the only question left to say is, are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can get reward points delivered too. So the ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. It's match day in the Premier League. We've got Arsenal against Brighton at the Amex Stadium. Transfer news to discuss, Mikel Arteta's press conference, and the latest Brighton team news also from Roberto De Zerbi. This is the Arsenal News Show. Hello and welcome to the Gunner Talk, back with you guys for another episode of what is the Arsenal News Show on the Gunner Talk. The reason why I'm slightly exasperated is that I think everything is, at the moment, and I'm touching wood, working. Now, for those that have been listening the last few days know that we've had some incredible technical problems. And I'm not promising that they're fixed 100% because they may not be, but I have been up since about 5:30 this morning trying to sort out a problem, trying to sort out the issues. We are running on the new laptop. We are running on wired internet with an adapter. We are running on this microphone, believe it or not, the one that usually turns me into an Alvin the Chipmunk, through another adapter. We're using the new camera on the new laptop, which makes me look a lot cleaner, I'm hoping. And hopefully this is the best looking it's seen for quite some time. So collectively, we're going to cross our fingers is what we're going to do. We're going to cross those fingers. I can see Amesy's already doing it in the chat box. So everybody collectively, please. And as you're crossing your fingers, you press the like button. That's how it works. Okay. So make sure you drop a rest on the like button so you help us to get to 1,000 every single day. And just an appreciation for trying to sort out everything. So I'm hoping that this is peak TGT throughout the whole of this show. Because every bit of investment we've put in to try and make this happen is on today. So I'm hoping that this is going to work and that it's as smooth and crystal clear as it possibly can be. It's been a long morning and it was a long night. I was out last night with a few friends and got in, not to be fair, not too late, only around 11 o'clock. I found a new technique as I get near 30, which is called the 2-3 beer technique, which is like, understand where you feel your best and stop. And then go on the soda and limes after that. And this is my new technique, which I've been trialing out as well. And I feel good this morning and I feel fine. So I think it's, you know, any way to better yourself, I say. Good morning to those joining us in the chat box. Really appreciate your time as always. Have a fantastic day on Saturday, I hope. And I hope your Friday evenings was good as well. We've got a game to talk about too. Blackshine, good morning to you, to Matt G, to Damien, to Glenn, Franklin, Arasilki, Stephen, A1, Martin, True Fact, Amira, Matt Tomo, TDG. We've got Josh and Peter. We've got Shari, Mr. Ree, Stevie, Kaiser. We've got Tabani, Mr. Ree, Ismail. Thank you so many to you for all tuning in. It is incredibly appreciated. I can see plenty of new and other faces as well in the chat box, which is always great to see also. So thank you for everyone that's tuned in. And I'll get back to you in part two for questions. But without further ado, let's jump into today's stories. We start with a roundup of the Premier League games that are taking place across this weekend, really. We've got Crystal Palace first up against Manchester City, an opportunity for City to go top of the league, of course, before Arsenal play later today. They won that game last season 1-0 with a very tight penalty That's all that it was that got them that win. Will we see a repeat of that? Can Crystal Palace do Arsenal and Liverpool a favour? I guess we'll have to wait and see. Aston Villa against Brentford is the first 3 o'clock kickoff, along with Everton against Burnley, Fulham against Newcastle, Luton against Bournemouth, Wolves against West Ham. And then at 5:30 is the big one. We've got Brighton against Arsenal. Of course, Arsenal looking to be the second side to win at Brighton this season, after a very good, in the league at least, a very good season for Brighton at home. It's been their away form that's been in question, but it's been a place where we've had mixed results down the years. Last year, we got a good, last season, we got a good result on New Year's Eve, but hopefully we can repeat the goal scoring feats that we achieved at the Amex last time around. Then on Sunday, I'll talk more about these tomorrow, of course, but we've got Manchester United against Liverpool, the big one. Sheffield United against Chelsea and Tottenham against Nottingham Forest. So they're all of the Premier League games from this weekend. Now, Roberto De Zerbi was speaking to the media ahead of the game against Arsenal as well. He talked about some of the absences that we saw over the last few kind of games. The Brentford game, they were missing some key players. We saw Ansu Fati missing. We saw Webster missing. We saw Barco missing. And we saw Ferguson missing. He confirmed that Ferguson and Webster and Gilmore are all out of this game. However, Ansu Fati and Barco will both be available for Brighton today. Ferguson not being there, I guess, is a bit of a plus. But of course, they've got Danny Welbeck and they've got João Pedro, who are also very good centre forwards that they can use in today's game. There's no Mitoma. He's not available, hasn't been available for many weeks, and is, I think, what we believe to be out for the rest of the season as well. So plenty of interesting team news from the Brighton side of things. And Mikel Arteta also faced the press yesterday as well, was asked a number of questions. First, we can talk about team news. He was asked about Bukayo Saka, and he says, "We will know now. We have a training session in a few hours and we will know whether he is fit or not." He was asked further about Saka, Simon Collins of the Evening Standard, asking some of the questions on Saka about how worried he is about him burning out towards the end of the season. He says, "I'm super positive. I think he's going to fly and be so decisive." He was asked about kind of the setbacks with his injuries, and he says he's so strong and how much he wants it. When you talk to him and how excited he is about what is coming, he wants to be here. He's being and getting better and better, and it's normal to have little niggles. You have kicks, and he's gone through a lot of that in the last 2 or 3 years. And now look at the way he's performing. And he is performing when, you know, fully fit. I think we can say that Saka is obviously one of the best players in the league. But when there are question marks about his fitness, question marks about how fit and available he is, of course, there's always going to be, I think, some undermining of his ability and his performances. But if you have a fully fit Bukayo Saka, we know that he can be a huge asset for us, and hopefully that continues to be the case. The problem was is that we didn't see Saka in any of the training images that were released by Arsenal yesterday. Now, that doesn't mean he is not going to be available for the game, because, of course, we know that Arsenal are clever and they know that we go through these pictures with a fine tooth comb. But it could have an impact. Indeed, it could be an indication that maybe Saka is not there. Gabriel Martinelli was, which is great to see. Jurrien Timber, you can also see in the picture on the screen if you're watching on YouTube, is involved in the images as well, which is another big, big positive. Arsenal's under-21 game is on Monday. Will we see Timber involved in that? Will he play the one next week? I guess we'll have to wait and see. But seeing him involved in training again is another really big boost, and certainly a positive sign, because he hasn't been spotted in some of the recent images that they've put out in recent weeks. So that's really, really good. But just going back to that press conference and some of the other questions that Mikel Arteta was asked from the weekend. He was asked about the changes that were made from the weekend, rather from midweek against Luton. He says, "I was obviously very pleased with the result and performance, and the fact that everybody responded in the way that we expected. When you change things, there is a possibility because you haven't played that much. But I think the boys were really good." He was asked about Emil, and he says, "You could see that, but I think an example is Reece. In the previous game, he was not in the squad, and the next game, he's ready to start. If someone doesn't react the way that he did after, you are not ready to perform. So I'm really pleased with that kind of reaction in the team. Emil was really strong in the game." It's actually something I'd not touched upon or really talked about too much, because Nelson wasn't in the squad for the game against Manchester City at all. He wasn't there. And yet he comes in and starts in midweek, as opposed to just being on the bench. And what that tells us, of course, is players, even if they're not in the squad, can come in, start and make an impact. I know that there were some discrepancies, I think, between people and how they assessed Reece's performance. It was a little rusty at times. You know, I think he took time to kind of get into the game somewhat. But he had some really good movements, really good contributions. Defensively, got back and defended. But in the first kind of 20 to 25 minutes, he was a bit slow in responding to counter-attacks. But he grew into the game before coming off in the second half. Overall, he was very pleased with both players' performances. And he certainly should be as well. But our final story before we go to part two is on transfers. And according to Portuguese media, Arsenal are said still to be leading the race for both Goiocares and Diamande. Two names I think that we can all agree we are going to be talking about a lot as we lead up to the summer transfer window. A deal for both players would potentially require Arsenal to activate both players' release clauses. Victor Gyökeres has a €100 million release clause, around £85 million, and Diamande has an €80 million release clause, which is around £70 million. So, expensive, very expensive. Could be £150 million to get both players through the door if Arsenal wants both players. And certainly both players would add plenty of quality to this Arsenal team next season. Do Arsenal have a chance of signing another striker? I know that other players are of interest to a lot of our listeners, but whether or not indeed Arsenal are moving for them or if they're available is another question. Of course, Isak is another one that a lot of people like. David Ornstein coming out a couple of days ago and saying, as I mentioned on yesterday's show, that it's unlikely that Isak will leave Newcastle during the summer. Despite all this talk of PSR, very unlikely they would allow Isak to leave. So interesting to see how these ones play out, and you can be sure that we'll continue to give you updates on all of Arsenal's transfers, and we'll be building up to that more intensely and talking about more transfers as we lead up to the opening of the summer window and the European Championships, of course, in the summer taking place as well. We're going to go and talk for as many of your questions in part two right after this.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. And the same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with Mook Delivery. Are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Okay, part two. We're holding out. There's been a little couple of dips in the internet, which, you know, I think is just to do with the internet, my area, clearly. I can't have wired connection and there still be problems. Like, that's out of my hands. I reset the router this morning as well and everything. Like, I went through every step. I did the whole British thing of turning it off and turning it back on again. And if that doesn't fix it, we all know, everybody knows, there is no other solution that exists. You can turn it off and back on again. And if something's not fixed, you need to throw it out. That's how it works. Whether it's a toaster, whether it's a router, whether it's a kettle, whether it's a console, turn it off and turn it back on again. We know that fixes everything. And if it isn't fixed, that means it is dead forever. Gone. There we go. Right, let's go into the chat box, shall we, and tackle some of these questions. Ryan says, what's the most clean sheets Arsenal have had in a season? And what's the record for any team that's tried that's got clean sheets? That's a really good question. Arsenal this season, I think, am I right in saying we've got something like, is it 12? Maybe more than that, actually. I think maybe it's more now. I think I was looking at that recently. Clean sheets. Clean sheets, Premier League player stats. David Raya's got 11 clean sheets. And I thought, is this just Arsenal? Is it all teams? No, yeah. Clean sheets, 23-24 season. David Raya has 11. But of course, Ramsdale has kept... He kept one against Brentford, so that's 12. I think it is 12, right? Dwayne says, Chelsea have the record with 15. Premier League clean sheet record. Shall we have a look? Clean sheet record. Clean sheets, Premier League stats. No, I want... What is the Premier League clean sheet record? In 2005, the inaugural Premier League Golden Glove was awarded to Petr Cech of Chelsea. Cech's 24 clean sheets in a single season remains the current record. Apparently, it's 24. That's crazy. That's mad. And Dwayne, I think what you're saying with the 15 is how many goals they conceded in a single season. And I think they only conceded 15. Which is mad, like absolutely incredible. Jose Mourinho there with quite a ridiculous thing. But yeah, 2005 was the inaugural Premier League Golden Glove and Petr Cech kept 24 clean sheets in a single season. That's mad. That's crazy. But John says, well, they ain't got 24 clean sheets this season. Whey! So that's always that to look at as well, which is great. But yeah, 24 is indeed very wild. That meant Mourinho defence proving very, very good indeed. Damien says, can they schedule Mikel Arteta's press conference after the final training session? Damien, they could. They could. But I don't think they will. And the reason why they won't is because it allows them to be somewhat coy about that. We're not idiots. Like, we know how it works. Like, when we get told when the press conferences are, I believe, I could be wrong, but I believe Arsenal are the ones that decide when they're going to host. They are like, what's the word? They are obliged. They have to do a press conference, I believe, for every Premier League game. Sometimes they combine them. So what can sometimes happen is that you have a European game. And if you've got a European game like we used to in the Europa League on a Thursday, and there wasn't time to have a press conference on the Friday because they were flying back from wherever they were on an away game. So last season, I remember being, I think there was a press conference after the Sporting game, and they did the press conference kind of in the second half of the post-match Sporting one. So sometimes they did not enough time. But they have to have kind of a presser. I think there is restrictions or whatever laws in place where they have to do them. But they have kind of freedom, I think, about when they put those press conferences, as long as we get told when they are, obviously, so we can go and attend them. But they definitely 100% put them before the last training session, because that means that they can say, well, we've got one more training session, so let's wait and see who's going to be available. It's very obvious what happens. John says, did you get to ask the questions you wanted yesterday? I wasn't at the press conference. I don't do the press conferences this season. Have I done any so far this season? No. I do the mix zone after games for players and stuff, but the press is our chief Arsenal writer, Kai Carnett, does that at the moment. So anytime he's on holiday, I'd be in the press conference, but otherwise not. Yeah, only the player stuff. But there was a question about Timber on before the Luton game, and so he was asked about it then. Omer says, are squad selections really done so last minute, or is it Arteta always being tight-lipped in presses? He has a plan of what he wants to do. He will have this idea in his head about what team he wants to choose. But they get submitted on the day. So the Premier League, you have like a deadline of when you have to submit them by. Broadcast then gets them before it goes out publicly, so that commentators can get kind of their notes ready, and presenters on things can get their notes ready. Sometimes when you see team news leak like 15 to 20 minutes before it's released, it's because somebody has leaked it from one of those broadcast sheets. I imagine that's how it happens. So anyone that's got access to that is leaking it, you know, kind of how they're getting that information. Vishal says, should I start Saka in my FPL team? Vishal, it's an impossible question, mate, because he could start, he might not. We aren't in the know at all about whether or not Saka's going to be available. And I don't think we will have any idea really until after the deadline of FPL, which is, I think, what, at 11? I think I still need to do some changes this morning. I had a decent week. I had both Palmer and Foden in my team, so double hat-tricks for them this week. Yeah, the deadline is 11 o'clock this morning. I captained Havertz against Luton. He got an assist, but had I have captained Palmer or had I have captained Foden, then I would have got some insane number of points. Kyle says, Tom, these days, every young player that is coming up in the Premier League is always compared to Saka. A few days ago, it was Kobbie Mainoo. This week, it's Palmer. I mean, it's just natural. I mean, Saka has become the benchmark, and that's, you know, props to Saka. That's a testament to how good he is and how good he has been as a player. So, Yes, that's always going to happen, but it is the reality. Puria says, what's the status of Vieira? Is he still injured? No, he's not injured. He's been on the bench the last few games. He's available to be picked. He's available to be brought on. Arteta just hasn't done that. We are still awaiting the reintegration, the fully reintegration, I guess, of Fabio Vieira. If his injury happened earlier in the season, I think you would have seen him play more, but because we haven't had the games really to give him the opportunity, we're not doing that. Pear says, why do you pronounce it? What? Muck delivery. Sorry. Yes. You're listening to the TalkSport. the TalkSport sponsorship. That's just how I pronounce it, Pear. That's just the way I guess it's colloquialisms, if that's the word. So there you go, Pear. Sorry, mate. You're going to have to deal with that. That's for those that listen on audio platforms, you know exactly what Pear is talking about. World Citizen says, now that we have stopped inverting the left back and playing Kivior as more of a traditional left back, should we cash in on Zinni in the summer and bring back Tierney? We shouldn't bring back Tierney. No, Tierney's not of the level. I'm sorry to break it to people that really like the guy. I like the guy. I mean, he's a good player as well, but he's not of the level. He's not of the standards that we need at this, you know, competing for titles. He's very committed. He's got a great attitude. And he's still a good player. But sadly, he is not of the level required in the style of the defender that we want in those positions. And Tierney's time at Arsenal will, I imagine, come to an end permanently in the summer. I'd love for him to come back and prove me wrong. I don't think he'll be given the opportunity to. I don't think that's the case. Vishal says there's 760 people watching live, but there's only 210 likes. Are we still hitting 1K every day? We are. We are still hitting 1K every day. We've not missed a beat so far with our morning shows, but doesn't mean that we can slack people. You know, we need to make sure we're dropping a like on the video. I always wonder, like, because it costs nothing. It's just a little one press on your screen. And there is, like, 790 people. There's 133 on Twitter as well. But if you're listening on Twitter, hop over to YouTube because then you can jump into the chat box and ask your questions. On YouTube, it's 700 people and there's only 200 likes. I don't get it. 500 people just sitting there going, nah, I'm just going to ignore him. I'm gonna ignore him. See how he likes it. You know, who are you? Who are these people? I don't understand. Arnold says, I think I agree with Arteta. We only need to sign one world-class player now, or rather, we only need to sign world-class players now. The key is to cash in on the players and then we can buy more indeed. John says, Tierney's finished at Arsenal. He's already admitted that he tried to be a right back and Arteta wants, but Arteta, yeah, he wants to be Arteta wants a certain style of fullback. Tierney doesn't fill in that bracket. Yes, we're not inverting on the left in the terms of Kivior, but you still have to do certain things as a fullback at Arsenal, even if you're not inverting. And Tierney, sadly, hasn't been able to do those things that Arteta wants. Pratika says, we're just waiting until the end of the show to decide if we like it or not. Is that it? I get like feedback afterwards. Like, is it worth my like? Is it worth this one little movement of my thumb? I'm not sure. Franklin says, I always forget. I need to be reminded to like the stream. Try adding a poll asking if we've liked the stream. No, because the thing about humans, right, and I count myself in there to some degree, is that we like to see the world burn. And as soon as I put a poll up saying, have you liked the video? People will just want to press no. Because people just like seeing the world burn. That's the problem with society these days. It's just people just like misery. People just like that. So, yeah, I can't do that, mate, because I don't want to give the opportunity for people to watch the world burn. Alistair says, hi, Tom. I really like the awkwardness with the plank north side. I mean, north side's all right. I've had a few conversations with him, you know, back and forths on Dan's show before. I wouldn't describe him as a plank. I think he's got, you know, I hope his heart's in the right place. And I hope that, you know, he's clearly a big fan of Arsenal and he wants Arsenal to succeed. Do I agree with the way in which he talks about it? No, I don't. But I've still had plenty of conversations with him and it's been sound. Jay says, who do you think would be the next dynamic duo like Lacazette and Aubameyang? If we get players like Solanke and Muniz as a duo, that would be insane. But I am not sure if that would fit Arteta's style. The duo thing's interesting. Like, the Lacazette-Aubameyang dynamic completely undermined our situation, really, at Arsenal. Because when we signed Lacazette, We then lost Alexis Sanchez in January, like months later. And what we did was, is that we signed Aubameyang to replace the goals that was lost by Alexis leaving. The problem was, is that we'd signed Lacazette to be better than Giroud, but he turned out not to be. And then we spent another 50, 60 million pounds on Aubameyang, who played in the same position as Lacazette. We tried to use Aubameyang in a wide position alongside Lacazette, or we ended up changing them and interchanging them between games. But what we had was, is two huge players, standout investments in a squad that needed investment elsewhere in the same position. And we always needed to invest in a midfielder and we always needed to invest in a defender. And instead, we were top heavy with Aubameyang, Lacazette. And then Pepe came in, spent £72 million on Pepe when we still needed to sign a top centre-half and we still needed to sign a top centre-mid. We signed Lucas Torreira. It didn't work. I mean, Unai Emery ended up kind of ruining Lucas Torreira. I think there was a real player there. I think actually he's gone to Galatasaray and I've heard a few good things about what he's done there, but Unai Emery wrecked Lucas Torreira. I was never used. I was really curious to see if Arteta had taken over with Torreira there, what would have happened, you know, if he was given more time. Ultimately, Torreira's time was kind of done by the time that Arteta came in and we signed Partey. Obviously, and Torreira actually went the opposite direction, didn't he? He went to Atletico Madrid on loan for that season. So, yeah, it's a shame that it didn't work out, but I would have been intrigued to see what would happen if Arteta had more time at the start with Torreira to see what might have worked, but he'd already been ruined by Unai Emery at that point. Reece says, Kivior is part of the best defence in Europe. Tierney is not better. I have to agree, like, in terms of pure defender, in the style of what a Man City and an Arsenal-type fullback is these days, Kivior is better than Tierney at the moment. Like, he's proving to be better than Tierney. We brought him on against Liverpool at 1-1. We win 3-1. He's been really key in that game. He's been in the starting team that kept a clean sheet at Manchester City and helped stop them scoring in a 57-game scoring run. If you're not rating Kivior right now, I don't think you ever will. It's as simple as that. Kazang, thank you so much for the kind donation. Kazang says, will Bayer Leverkusen get the golden trophy if they win the league unbeaten in the Bundesliga. I don't know if that happens in the Bundesliga, if you get a gold trophy for going unbeaten. I hope they do it. I really do. I like Xabi Alonso. I like Granit Xhaka, obviously, a lot. I like their team. I like their style. I love how attacking they are. I love players like Jeremy Frimpong and Grimaldo and the goals and assists they've got this season. I always like Patrick Schick, as you know, on the channel as well. They've got a lot of young players. I think what they've done is brilliant. They've kind of revived as well the reputations of some other players like Jonathan Tah, Edmund Tapsoba. They've got some really good players at Leverkusen. They've got a really, really good coach as well. And I think that if they go unbeaten, it's not for me from an Arsenal perspective. I don't see anyone ever going unbeaten again in the Premier League. I just don't see it happening. But other leagues, it's different. Obviously, you know, the Bundesliga is not as competitive as the Premier League is, but it's still a very good league. So what an achievement it would be if they did end up going invincible. Kazang says our record would be broken. It's not the same. Kazang, it's a different nation, it's a different league, it's different. Our record would not be broken because it's about being invincible in the Premier League, which obviously Bayer Leverkusen can never ever do. Chris says, I agree with Elliot on what you said about preferably going for a wide forward instead of a striker. If we could, Rafael Leao, Diamande and a midfielder, preferably maybe Joshua Kimmich. I think Kimmich would be an excellent bit of business for Arsenal. I don't see there being the midfielder that's kind of there to take Arsenal to the next level and replace Partey in the long term. So I think Kimmich is a really good 2 to 3 year option for us until that next Declan Rice becomes available for us to go and get. So yeah, 100% Joshua Kimmich, please. Robin says Xavi Simmons or Rodrigo. Xavi Simmons, 100%. Rushnav says Juventus have already gone unbeaten in Serie A as well. Yes, very good point. They have. So again, it doesn't affect us. It's a different league. The Walking Man says there's other teams that have been invincible in Europe. It doesn't stop Arsenal being unique in the Premier League as well. Absolutely. Arnold says, don't forget, guys, Tomiyasu is better than Tierney. He's a great defender, but it helps us go forward as well. If only he could stay more fit. That's all we could hope for with him. James says, if you had a win card for Arsenal that could be used in one fixture before the end of the season, which game would you choose to use it on? I have two schools of thought with this, James. Because one, you could say the next game, which is Brighton, because you want to keep the momentum going. Or you can pick what you think is the hardest game. Now, I think a lot of people would say that Spurs away is the hardest game. And there's a good argument that that is correct, that Spurs away is definitely the hardest game of the rest of the season. However, Old Trafford, for some reason, no matter how bad they are, no matter how terrible they are, no matter how embarrassing they are, no matter how little accountability their manager takes, for some reason, Old Trafford always is a problem for us. And I cannot ever get my head around why we cannot get over that mental block of Old Trafford. So despite the fact that you'd think it would obviously be Spurs, there's something about that Man United game that I cannot help but look at and think, give me a win there in the penultimate league game of the season as well. You know, if we're still in the title race and if you win against United, you're still in the race come the end of the season, could be massive. So for me, I think that United away game. Now, some people are saying Bayern Munich, which is completely fair. I'm not picking Bayern Munich because even if you beat Bayern Munich, you've got to go play Man City or Real Madrid and then you could be out of the competition. I have to pick the Manchester United away game. So Old Trafford for me would be the one free hit win card I'd take, James. But let us know what you go for in the comment section down below. I like that question. Guna 76 is keep Vieira or Smith Rowe? Smith Rowe. Smith Rowe, I know what he's capable of. Smith Rowe, I know what he has done. I know that there is such talent there and he's shown that in this shirt. Whereas Vieira, there isn't that. You know, I haven't seen enough of Vieira to know whether or not he would be able to make it. So I'd keep Smith Rowe. Amira says, looking at our defensive record, shouldn't it emphasise the need to manage both the centre-backs' minutes? They're too important to play every second. Only tried Tommy Rice, etc., at centre-back once this season in a cup game. Potentially, yeah. But there is arguably the position on the pitch that requires the least amount of expenditure of energy. And so therefore, you don't necessarily have to rotate them as much as other positions. Should we be? Potentially. The injury that Saliba suffered against Sporting was an injury that is just bad luck. Tomiyasu, the injury he suffered is just bad luck. So yes, Gabriel is carrying something of a minor foot problem. Maybe that's being monitored and managed as well. But there may be games where we can choose to rotate them. And if not, we need to manage their minutes by taking them off and bringing Tomiyasu on or moving Rice back into defence and bringing another midfielder on. You know, there are things that we can do. And maybe Arteta needs to be a little bit savvier to that. But it is the position on the field, at least from my view, especially in an Arsenal team that dominates possession, that requires the least amount of energy expenditure. So that's worth thinking about. I'm going to end the show there. Thank you so much, guys, for listening. I'm hoping that this has delivered, finally, a issue-free show. I know the connection may have been... I've seen a little symbol come up in the top left-hand corner a couple of times saying the internet has wavered slightly at points. But other than that, I think, hopefully, it's been pretty smooth sailing. I'm hoping this is going to be the case going forwards. No promises ever, of course, with this. But I'm hoping that it has been a very smooth show. So thank you for listening. Leave all your feedback down in the comment section down below. Enjoy your Saturday. I'm going to go do the food shop now before I start work. I'm not heading down to the South Coast. I'm going to be covering the game from home, but I will be covering it. So you can, of course, if you're unable to watch the game for whatever reason, you'll be able to get persistent and consistent updates on the football.london website, on our live blog. There'll be reaction. There'll be Arteta's press conference. And then tomorrow morning here on the channel, I'll be live at 8 o'clock in the morning to break down that very game. Have a fantastic Saturday. I hope that it delivers for us the win that we need it to. And I will see you all tomorrow morning. Stay safe, stay well, stay happy and respectful. And as always, up the Arsenal. It's the 90 plus minute. All your mates around and you've got a McNuggets share box ready to go and you know a late winner's coming. Your mates already got booked for a double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfection. Order now on the McDonald's app for your McDelivery. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Small details are big surfaces. tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.